And we had left off, we were looking at the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis, which lays out a machlokas concerning the question of Smicha's Gula with Tfila. So we'll just say a few points from that Gemara to look at the issue of Ma'ariv as a whole, and starting from that point of Smicha's Gula with Tfila. So the Gemara tells us that there is a debate about whether or not there's an obligation of Smicha's Gula with Tfila when it comes to Ma'ariv. That according to one view, that was the view of Rabbi Yochanan, yes, there is Smicha's Gula with Tfila. That Ezahu ben Olam Haba, Zasomech Gula with Tfila. So Arvis, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi says no, but instead we should have a structure of Tfilas Be'emtza Tiknum. That we should have all the Tfilos in the middle of the day. We start our day with Shema, we end our day with Shema, and Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv in terms of Shemoneh Esrei will all be in the middle. So that would have meant, according to this view, that the structure of Ma'ariv should be the opposite of what we have. That instead of where we have it now, that we say Shema then Shemoneh Esrei at night, should be backwards. Should have Shemoneh Esrei and then ending with Shema. And the Gemara says that each one of them has a way of saying it. Each one can prove their point either from a pasuk or from a svara. That from the svara, because the question is when was the geula. So the geula took place in the morning but started at night. So the question is, was the nighttime a significant part in terms of the redemption? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, apparently the night is also considered to be a geula, and according to Yeshua, since it didn't complete until the morning, it's only really the morning that counts. The other proof is from the pasuk. They both read the same pasuk, Shach Bucha V'Kumecha, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, so the pasuk is linking Shchiva and Kima. So in both cases, the structure should be the same, Shema Ben Shemoneh Esrei. And according to Yeshua, yes, they are linked, so the structure should be the same. Shema adjacent to bedtime. So in the morning, Shema first, and the nighttime, Shema last. And we mentioned that this machlokas had come up earlier, because on Daf Beis and Aleph, the whole debate in the Rishonim about what do we do in terms of early davening, let's say tonight, presumably, many people will daven Ma'ariv before dark. And we saw that there was a major machlokas in the Rishonim whether or not their yotze with that first Shema. According to Rashi, you're not yotze with that first Shema, it's too early, so therefore it's only Shemoneh Esrei that we affect by davening early, and Kriya Shema Lamito will have to serve for Shema. So one of Tosfos' objections was that's the view of Rabbi Yeshua that we don't follow, Shemoneh Esrei then Shema. So since we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, you have to have the other way around, Shema then Shemoneh Esrei. So what's the story in terms of this whole Shema Smichas Gula Tfila by Ma'ariv? So there is a little bit of an ambiguity here, because on the one hand, so the Gemara seems to conclude that yes, you do need to have Smichas Gula Tfila by Ma'ariv. Or that is the Psak Halacha as reflected by the structure of our Siddur, that Shema is first, then Shemoneh Esrei. But in practice, there are some differences. And to mention two differences, one which is always the case and one which is theoretically the case, is that when it comes to Shema of Shacharis, so we're very careful not to allow any type of interruption. When we say Smichas Gula Tfila, we mean absolute. There is literally, as the expression goes, no daylight it was more relevant for Vesikin, that there's no daylight between Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. Right? We don't put anything after Baal Yisrael. We try to avoid saying Amen there, so we try to coordinate our bracha together with the Shliach Tzibur. When we mean connection, we mean an absolute connection. When it comes to Ma'ariv, it's clear that we're more flexible. A part of that is addressed by the Gemara here, when the Gemara asks about Hashkiveinu, which we'll also try to talk about a little bit. So how could it be that we say Hashkiveinu in Ma'ariv if we're worried about having Smichas Gula Tfila? And the Gemara says, well, Hashkiveinu is okay. Hashkiveinu is like a Gula Arichta. It's somehow like an extension of the Bracha of Gal Yisrael. So, okay, but still we don't have any kind of extension like that in Shachar, so already it's a little more flexible. But beyond that, it's not just Hashkiveinu. We also have Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen, if you say that, which is a difference in practice whether or not to say that. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. But that's also beyond Hashkiveinu. And we have a Kaddish there with its own responses, which we certainly don't have when it comes to Shachris. So even if we're assuming that there is Smichas Gula Tefila as represented by the structure of the davening, it's clear that it's not the same set of rules.
And more than that.
And
somebody comes late.
The second one, the second example I want to give to, but you know, it doesn't really come up in real life, people don't really come late to shul. But in theory, if anybody ever came late, so there is a difference between Shachris and Maariv. That when it comes to Shachris, so it's based on a balancing of priorities. Now let's say somebody comes late to Shachris, theoretically, in the theoretical world, and so he has to start triage, or he has to start prioritizing what's he going to say, what's he not going to say. So certain things he can cut out, certain parts of Pesukei Zimra can be sacrificed, because the main goal is Tefillah B'Tzibur. That you want to have Shmon Esrei happening at the same time as the Tzibur. However, we don't let you jettison everything, because the assumption is that as important as Tefillah B'Tzibur is, Smichas Gula Tefillah is also a major priority. So we don't let you skip Shema. You don't let you say, okay, I'll say Shema later. No, you don't do that. You have to at least get in Shema with the Brachos before Shmon Esrei, even if that means that you're not going to be exactly with the Tzibur. So in other words, you have to choose, you're forced for time reasons to choose between Smichas Gula Tefillah and Tefillah B'Tzibur. You're going to choose Smichas Gula Tefillah, while that's not the case, as Dr. Levin was about to point out. When it comes to Maariv, somebody comes to Shul 10:07 or whatever, and they're about to start Shmoneh Esrei. So then the din is that he should start, he's again the same, he's got the same balancing act, right? That either he's going to say Shmoneh Esrei with everyone else, have Tefillah B'Tzibur, or he'll have Smichas Gula Tefillah by having Shema first. So then the halacha has it that Tefillah B'Tzibur wins. So he should say Shmoneh Esrei with the Tzibur and say Shema the Brachos afterwards. And so there's two differences here. And that on the one hand, it seems like we paskin Smichas Gula Tefillah by Maariv, yes. But we then weaken that by saying that unlike Shachris, A, we allow some interruption, and B, we prioritize it less than Tefillah B'Tzibur. When it comes to Shachris, we do the other way around. So how do you understand that difference? So this was a very fascinating, a lengthy shiur of Soloveitchik gave in one of his Yerzei shiurim. So he took presumably about 4 hours to explain it, so we'll try to do a little bit less than half that. We'll try to do it in like 4 minutes. But essentially, obviously not to trust us, but just to get the thrust of what he's getting at. So he notes something else. It's when the question of why do we allow the brachos in between, or why do we allow Kaddish, why do we allow Baruch Hashem La'olam, etc., if you say that, in between Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei at Maariv. So some of the Rishonim suggest, a couple of Tosas, and they quote some other Rishonim, they say a funny answer. Says, why is that? Because the principle of Tfilas Arvis Rishus, which hopefully I'd like to discuss from its own perspective in a few minutes, but because there is some type of mysterious optional status, so to speak, to Maariv, we'll have to figure out what exactly that means practically, but because Tfilas Arvis is termed a Rishus, so therefore we put in these interruptions as if to kind of advertise that, or to make a statement that it's a Rishus. So as I've noted, it's very hard to understand. Okay, so Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, fine, but we're obligated to advertise that when we say it, to hold up a sign and say, oh, the world should know that this is just somehow a lower level Tfilah than the other two. We have to put this Kaddish there in order to show that we kind of disrespect the Tzibur. It's an act of knocking Maariv down a peg. What exactly does that mean? So it suggests as follows, that essentially there is a question you could ask here. Say smichos gula tefila, like, you know, classic lumdisha kind of question. So we are connecting Shema and Shemon Esrei. Who benefits from this arrangement? Who are we doing this for? Are we doing this for Shema? Shema enhanced by having a structure like that? Or are we doing this for Shemon Esrei? The Shemon Esrei better off because Shema comes before. This discussion a lot of the Achronim have. The Stipler has a discussion about this. If you look at Bawilik Sefer and Brachos Tam Mordechai, he talks about this. There are those who feel, and you can read this different ways, there are those who feel that it's relevant to Rashi right here on Dalet Amud Beis, that Rashi lays down here what is the advantage of Smichas School of Tefillah. It's a very valuable Rashi for the whole discussion. You have to figure out exactly how to read it. Rashi Zeha Somech, it's about just two-fifths of the way down from the top. Zeha Somech, that if you want to become a Ben Olam Haba, so you'll do Smichas School of Tefillah for Ma'ariv. So the Kol Shekein de Shachris, and of course, especially Shachris, all the more so, the Iker Geulas Mitzrayim b'Shachris, because that's for sure, when there was a Geula in the Shachris, so then you definitely want to do Smichas Geula Tefillah. Kedechseh b'macharas ha-Pesach, Yotzu b'nei Yisrael, and that's the indication that that's when the Geula was in the morning. So then Rashi goes on to explain the Smichas Geula Tefillah, the concept of connecting the two, Ramza David the Sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim alluded to this concept. Why? Because in Parak Yitess of Tehillim he says, Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, God is my Redeemer. And then the next Parak Tehillim he says, Samech Le'Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. So first Parak he talks about Geula, the first of the two, and then the next one he brings up Tefillah. He does an active Tefillah. So he himself put these two prakim adjacent in Tehillim, so he put Geula before Tefillah, so that's a hint that that's an appropriate thing to do. The Amrina of the Brachas Yerushalmi, and it says in the Yerushalmi, Misha'eno Samechul Tefillah, somebody who fails to do this, Lamahu Dome, what is he like? In this example, you have to really figure out what he's getting at, because there's a lot of nuances here that maybe are getting at something. Leohavo Shel Melech, you have a friend of a king. Sheba V'dafak Al Pisco Shel Melech, he comes and he knocks on the door of the king. Yotza HaMelech, then the king finally comes to answer the door. What does he see? Matzah Shehiflik. He saw there's a prank, essentially, right? You knock and then you run away when the guy comes to open the door. So that seems to be what happened, that you knock on the king's door, so it's not a push of a friend, it's a king who, it's a big deal to get him to come to the door. And when the person comes to the door, you have absconded. So Afu Hiflig, so fine, the king's also going to say, I don't need this, he's going to go back to his palace. Ella, so what's preferable? Ye Adam Mikariv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elav, a person should bring himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umaratzeyu B'Tishbachos V'Kilusim Shal Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he should appease him, should butter him up, so to speak, with praises of Yitzias Mitzrayim, V'Hu Miskariv Elav, and they're brought closer to each other, Ube'odo Karav Elav, and then when they are closer, because of this act of Tishbachos from the Gal Yisrael, Yesh Lo Tzvo Tzarecho, then that's a good time to ask for what you want, and not instead to waste the effort of knocking on the door and not getting anything.
It's such a strange comparison.
There's a lot you can question about that. Well, it makes a little bit of sense. It's a little bit of sense, but there's a lot you can
knock on the king's door, and before he says hello, you ask him for something. Like that.
So that might be, or you could say, right, you could say, essentially the fact is that it seems like we're inverting the order, right, that if the machlokus and the Gemara is, although, see, it's interesting, there's a lot of points of entry for this Rashi, because if Rashi is just talking about Ma'ariv, so then it'd be a stronger question what you're saying, because the thrust of the Gemara, apparently, especially in light of the differences that we mentioned, the thrust of the Gemara is that we have a structure of Shema and Shemon Esrei, as opposed to the other way around. Right? Especially because that's all that really seems to be the point, because we do allow some type of interruption, We don't prioritize it the same way as Shachar. So in light of those differences, the one way in which the Gemara really is followed is that L'chachila, we have Shemad and Shemon Esrei. So if the Rashi was trying to emphasize that, you're right, so you shouldn't talk about you're knocking on the door and not having not being there when the king opens the door. You should talk about you start asking for what you want before he opens the door. However, you see the way Rashi comments, Rashi is not focusing on Ma'ariv. He says, Ma'ariv talks about Ma'ariv, and Rashi says, yeah, call Shekarim Shachars, and then starts talking about Shachars. So really his whole discussion is really applicable as much or more to Shachars, and is essentially focusing not on switching the order, but on allowing there to be a gap. So it's like with Rashi's comparison, it's like you go, you want a meeting with the king, so you knock on the door, and then right before he comes, you say, you know what, I want a donut, you go to Dunkin' Donuts, and then he opens the door, he looks at it, says, where are you? Then you finish with a donut, you come back, and you want to start
closing him. Like Kaddish and Ashkenazi are going to get the donut?
Well, he doesn't talk about Kaddish and Ashkenazi. So he's assuming, let's say you're interrupting to take a break. So you'll say your Shema, and then he's okay, you know what, I've been davening for a while, I'll go take a walk around the block a couple of times, then I'll talk with my friends, and then I'll daven. So it's not, again, it's not the order focus, but it's interrupting. So if you interrupt, essentially what's going on? You knock on the king's door, he should come open the door. And then when he finally comes to the door, you're not ready yet. You went back to the car and you're reading.
It could be Rashi's maybe asking you to read between the lines, mm-hmm. which follows that what king answers his own door, he's going to yell for a servant to open the door and this servant, and no one comes. So it takes him a few minutes to open the door. By then, since you're not so mech, because no one has answered the door, so the guy who's waiting at the door leaves. Maybe that's what he thinks. So from here you have a proof that you don't separate the time. You've got to have less of a time span between Geula and Filo. Maybe that's what Rashi says.
Well, that does seem to be what he's saying. He's focusing on the fact that, I don't know if that's what you were asking about, the fact that what do we see if somebody doesn't make the connection? If somebody says, instead of going right from Shema to Shemona Esrei, I'll allow some interruption. Right, I'll say Shema and Gal Yisrael, and then I'll take a break. I'll sit and schmooze for a half hour, and then say Shema Esrei afterwards. So Rashi says, what's that like? You spend all this effort in getting the king's attention. You knocked on his door all this time. That's what Shema is parallel to, getting his attention, knocking his door. And then he shows up, and you're not there yet. You're not ready to talk.
And what did it?
And so he's not ready to talk. He's going to leave. So then all the knocking was for nothing, because he says, okay, I'm not going to wait around for you to be ready. So the king leaves. The king says,
Ben Apak in Shachri,
mm-hmm.
you are not allowed to talk between Ga'al Yisrael and Shemona Esrei.
Correct.
Ben Apak in Mali, it's Ben Apak.
So that's what we're right. That's what we got to figure out why that is. But Rashi is presumably talking about both, but at least Shachris also, that the idea of not interrupting represents this, you don't want to waste your buttering up, so to speak.
So is there any issue of Shema being derived and Tfila being derived on
displacing
it all?
There may be a place to that, yeah. Well, maybe even more than a place, more than that. So we'll discuss that in a second. So there are some who read into this Rashi. I don't know if it's any clearer. Does that make sense?
I'm having a little difficulty because it doesn't fit Marv. It fits Shachris, but it doesn't seem to fit Marv.
Because we allow that, we allow the Hashkivenu and...
Right, and it seems like Shachris, the focus is, to bring Kashivas. Your question was, will you bring Kashivas to Krishma or to... So it wouldn't work. One works and one doesn't work. They don't follow the same pattern.
So that let's.
I'm not sure which one is which because I'm having difficulty with the analogy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear it, but just.
It sounds like the second point. Rashi basically makes two points in order to talk about Sinus Lulut Tfilah. The first is Tehillim, that David HaMelech puts Hashem Tzu V'Goli first, and then puts a Tfilah Yanach Hashem V'Yitzara. The second point is the parable of the king. So the parable of the king certainly seems to be that you spent all that time saying Shema first in order to be able to get his attention, in order to get a Kadosh Baruch Hu receptive. And then once he's receptive, so then you have to move. You have to ask for what you want, otherwise it was a waste. So that sounds like the purpose of having Shema there first is so that your tefillah will be more well received, and therefore you don't want to not do that. You don't want to not have your tefillah now. So the second example, the second point, this point about the king, seems to be about getting your tefillah enhanced by having Shema first. What about the first point, though? The first point about Tehillim, is that the opposite point there? I think it's a little vaguer. There are those who read it as saying the opposite, that maybe it enhances your Gal Yisrael. That if you're saying, okay, God is my Redeemer, yeah? Well, put your mouth where your mouth is, so to speak. If God is your Redeemer, you think God really is there for you, you believe that. So prove it. Ask for something from him. You know, the fact that you ask your tefillah, that could be strengthening your expression of Geulah. Saying, if I really believe that God is redeeming me, so I'll show you that I believe it, because now I need something, I'm going to ask him. I'm not going to go ask somebody else. I'm not going to not ask anyone. I'm going to ask God for my needs. That shows I believe he's my redeemer. So in theory, you could see just thematically how either one could make sense. Could make sense that the tefillah is enhanced by praising God beforehand, by calling him the redeemer. And we could see how the expression of Gal Yisrael, the expression of redemption, is enhanced by following it up, by actually asking for something, showing that you really believe that God is the place to turn to, God is the Redeemer. So the example of the king seems to focus on the benefit of tefillah, that he calls essentially Shema and Gal Yisrael knocking on the door. But the first example could probably go either way, the point about how David HaMelech structures things, but there are some of the Achronim who read it that is saying that David HaMelech says Hashem Tzuri V'Goeli, and then proves it by saying, oh, you want to know how much I think you're my Goel? Because I say a tefillah in the next parak. So there are some who argue that the two halves of Rashi are pointing us in two different directions.
No,
they could be both. They're both values. Now, in terms of your point that it doesn't match perfectly when it comes to Ma'ariv, so it matches a little bit, because no one is saying that for Ma'ariv you should go for donuts in between Shema and Shemon Esrei. No one is saying that there should be a frivolous interruption. It's just that there's clearly a different standard. That when it comes to Shacharis, we're very absolute about it. No daylight whatsoever. And when it comes to Ma'ariv, it's a little more relaxed. You know, we're not saying go home for intermission, but we're saying that we're allowing Kaddish and Hashkivenu, which the Gemara already addresses, and Baruch Hashem La'olam. So we're not going to totally abandon connecting them, but we have a looser connection. We allow a looser connection.
It would follow inside the Gemara. It doesn't follow the way Rashi brings you to look at it. Rashi brings an exaggerated analogy that requires
a more absolute connection.
You know,
yeah. I think it's probably true, as I said before, that Rashi is really coming from a Shacharis-based perspective. But even though, you know, if you were editing Rashi, maybe you'd say, I put this Rashi later, because in Daf Tes, where it really gets into Smichus Gula Tefillah in the morning, maybe then Rashi should have given you his whole basic foundation shear about this. Here, where it's talking about Ma'ariv, so then I'm at the reason also there's an earlier Gemara, so we want to know earlier what the concept is. But here, if Rashi is not really addressing Ma'ariv, why does he give you the whole story now when the Gemara is about Ma'ariv? Okay, so it's a fair question. Maybe the answer is because it's an earlier Gemara, so we should know now rather than waiting until Das Tes to hear the whole story.
But that's the Gemara's answer. It's a Gula answer, so it fits perfectly in Rashi. In Ma'ariv, it's not a hesed. It's to say you've not. You're still there. You're saying you have to be saying a few extra things, but you haven't gotten anywhere.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
The standard is a little different. But also, just to make clear, the Gemara only addresses half the question. So we allow a lot more by Ma'ariv. In Shacharis, it's Gal Yisrael immediately Shemona Esrei. At Ma'ariv, it's Hashkivenu, Baruch Hashem Olam Kaddish. And the Gemara only talks about one of those things. It only talks about Hashkivenu. And it's the Rishonim who throw in. Some of the Rishonim will say, Tfilas Arvus Rishos, that's why we allow this.
What does Kaddish do in Ma'ariv?
So what does it do? So some of the Rishonim seem to be suggesting that it's there to, you know, to knock Ma'ariv, to essentially disrespect Ma'ariv, so it sounds like, to essentially say that, don't think this is an obligatory tefillah. We're going to advertise how not obligatory it is by, you know, essentially interrupting on purpose. So what is going on? So if we want to have this new school with tefillah, at the same time, we want to show you how it's something not so perfect here.
The parable seems strange then, because okay. You're saying that when we're initially knocking on the door, maybe Hashem's not listening so much. And so you don't mind if he's not listening to Shema, but as long as this is what you're asking for, you know, it seems that based on that parable, you want to switch them. So you'd want to say, come listen to the analysis, Shema. Rather than ask the things that are secondary.
Why would you want to specify? Well, why is special Shema Nesrei is not a secondary? Shema Nesrei is everything. Right. So that's not so much an issue. But your previous point might be more relevant here. So essentially,
so the focus could be Shema. Maybe back to the Gemara's point that the Gula occurred in the morning, and mm-hmm. we don't want you to think that the Gula occurred at night. And if you were to follow Shachar's model, then your perception of Gula was, Gula itself must have certain values to us, not just Hashem does redeemed us. In other words, Malkus Goros occurred at night at Chatzot. Everything has an exactness. So if you were to have a Havamina, that Gula is, it took a few days, it was whatever. No, it only occurred at that moment when, Bnei Yisrael went out at a specific moment. And if you would have that Machshava, then you would think that Marv, it happened at night, then happened in the morning, and then it takes around the emes around what the Gula is. And the only way to make it exact is nothing to do with that. It's only to bring definition to Gula.
I think that makes sense, and that works in the view of Rav Shulman Levi. I think that's exactly his position.
But that can only explain Rashi, maybe, because otherwise it doesn't seem to fit.
I think Rav Shulman Levi is essentially saying that really the Gula was in the morning, so therefore don't have anything that looks like Smith Gula Tzila at Ma'ariv. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we essentially do have that structure because we reflect some type of Gula, so then having Kaddish there, for example, is not about showing that the Gula was incomplete, because that's not what the Rishonim say. The Rishonim say that it's about Ma'ariv, it's about Tfilas Arvis Rishos, about something lacking in the Shemona Esrei, apparently. So what is that lack?
In the Gemara that from Rabbi Yochanan, that
Rabbi Yochanan says that Shema, there was some Gula at night, so therefore emphasize Smichas Gula Tefillah at night too. And Shulman Levi says no, the real Gula was only in the morning, so don't bother having any Smichas Gula Tefillah at night, not L'chachil or B'dievet at all. Don't even structure your Seder that way. Print the Sidurim with Shemona Esrei, then Shema, Smichas Gula Tefillah doesn't come up at night at all.
But it works on Rabbi Yochanan also, because then Rashi's example works for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gula starts, you come to the door, you knock, but there is really no Gula till the morning. Mm-hmm. There is that void between, but it's beginning, but it's not an exactness of one right after the other.
You're saying that it's meant to parallel the relationship between Shema and Shemona Esrei. Is it meant to parallel the Gula itself, where there was some type of a time lag to start in the middle of the night?
Right, starts. There is this lag, but it does exist, but there is this lag, and while the morning there is no lag.
Interesting. I'm not sure that's what Rashi is getting at, but that's an interesting point to note. That's within the Gula part, instead of the relationship between Gula and Tefillah. It's an interesting point. So, what Rasalvechik picked up on is that essentially you have a dual goal. So, as Dr. Belzon was saying, presumably, even if we say two parts of Rashi are talking about two different directions, Shema helping Shemona Esrei and Shemona Esrei helping Shema, it's not mutually exclusive, it's not a machlokas or a skira, they're two different goals. They're accomplished both. There's a mutually beneficial shidduch that Shema benefits by having Shemona Esrei come after, and Shemona Esrei benefits by having Shema come first. Said the Rav, that's all very well and good for Shacharis. Again, this Rashi seems to be focused on Shacharis, even though the Gemara is talking about Ma'ariv. So that's all very well and good for Shacharis. When it comes to Ma'ariv, only half of that is true. Because since Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, that affects both halves of the equation. Let's take them one at a time. So first of all, does Shemona Esrei benefit by having Shema beforehand? The answer is yes, and in fact, even more than when it comes to Shacharis. Why? Because you have an idea in general that Tefillah needs permission. Tefillah needs a matir. You don't just start davening right away. You need to first get the king's audience. We have to continue this on Tuesday. But essentially, What that means is, so for example, we have a concept of a tefillas nedava, that there's a voluntary tefillah, someone can say. But when it comes to a voluntary tefillah, if you want to say an optional Shemona Esrei, you have to ask permission, so to speak, by having some chiddush in your davening. So Shulchan Aruch says, you can't say a normal Shemona Esrei, there's got to be something that justifies it, so to speak. So the more optional it is, if it's a totally voluntary nedava, the more you need permission. So in general, when it comes to chakras and obligatory Shemona Esrei, still, it helps to have a lead up, it helps to have some type of asking for, can I have an audience? So all the more so if it was a voluntary tefillah. So if Ma'ariv is somewhere in between, it's not totally optional like in a Adava, but it's not really obligatory like chakras, not only does it make sense to have permission asked first, but it's even more necessary because you really need a justification in order to adopt. The question is, what about the other direction? That we'll have to pick up that willing on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful job.